إِنَّ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. During the daytime also, you have a lot of time for glorifying the Almighty. Generally, people are of the opinion that this verse tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has a lot of other work to do during the day. In other words, the verse states that since in the daytime the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hard pressed for time due to work and other involvements, and hence seldom finds time to pray with full concentration, he should be very diligent in offering the tahajjud prayer in the night. Although it is linguistically possible to interpret the word in this meaning, for various reasons I am not convinced with this interpretation. Firstly, the Almighty has not selected the time of the tahajjud prayer to be the later part of the night, because in the daytime the person has many other involvements. On the contrary, it is evident from many indications in the Quran that in the 24 hours of day and night, it is this specific time, due to its nature, that is the most appropriate for attaining the objective to be achieved by standing in prayer by night. Secondly, if this meaning was to be conveyed from the verse, then it could have been simply done so by the words, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ شَغْلًا كَثِيرًا, or other ones having a similar meaning. The word sabhun does mean to swim and to walk. However, it is not commonly used to mean to be involved and to be busy, unless of course there is a strong intrinsic or extrinsic indication for this. Thirdly, if the word had this meaning, then it would be more appropriate that its qualifying adjective should have been kathira or kabira rather than being tawila. For these reasons, I am unable to convince myself of the conventional interpretation. In my opinion, the word tasbih here is in its common meaning of glorifying the Almighty, and the meaning of the verse is that besides the tahajjud prayer, which the Prophet must offer at night, during the day also he has a lot of time for glorifying the Almighty, which he should do. Consequently, it is known that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would diligently try to remember the Almighty in the daytime too, while walking, sitting, eating, and carrying out other routines of life. It is for this very reason that before embarking on every small or big life routine, supplications offered by him have been reported down to us. If a person diligently adheres to these supplications, he will remember God at every step he takes, and with their blessing, undertakings which are seemingly of worldly nature become worship. It also needs to be noted that what is required in religion is continual remembrance of God. I have already elaborated on this aspect at some place in my tafsir. Just as for the material life of man, breathing is essential, for his spiritual life, remembering God is essential. The body dies if breathing stops. Similarly, if a person becomes indifferent to God, his soul becomes lifeless. It is God's remembrance that keeps it fresh and alive, and the life of the heart is real life. It also needs to be kept in consideration that calling people towards religion and reflecting on the signs of God present in the world within man and those without are also included in remembering the Almighty. I have explained this aspect at more than one place in this tafsir. In fact, it would not be an exaggeration to say that this reflection is the most superior form of remembering God, because it is through reflection that remembrance becomes meaningful. In the absence of reflection, remembrance becomes merely an exercise of the tongue and is not beneficial to the life of a person. I have already alluded to this aspect under the following verse of Surah Ali Imran. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Those who remember God when standing, sitting, and lying down, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, Lord, you have not created this in vain. Glory be to you. Save us from the torment of the fire. Surah number 3, verse 191. Readers can of course look up the tafsir of this verse. وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. And remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself entirely to Him. Both tabattul and tabtil mean devoting oneself entirely to God. It involves isolating oneself from people and seeking refuge with God's mercy. In this verse, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been told how to cope with his distress at seeing people shun the truth and at being hurt by them. In this verse, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been told how to cope with his distress at seeing people shunning the truth and at being hurt by them. On such occasions, he should cut himself off from people who do not value the truth and seek refuge with the mercy of his Lord. For this purpose, the only thing that is required is to remember his name. When he does so, the Almighty will himself enshroud him in his mercy. It needs to be kept in mind that all names of God reflect his attributes, and it is on these attributes that the edifice of religion and faith stands. If a person keeps fresh a true knowledge of these attributes, he would find himself being backed by such a large army that the army of Satan would appear trivial before him. He would find himself to be firmer than mountains. On the other hand, if a person does not have a true comprehension of divine attributes, or this comprehension becomes weak, then his belief will become baseless or weak. As a result, he will find every outbreak of lightning striking his own shelter. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. He only is the Lord of the East and the West. There is no God but He. Therefore, take Him alone as your guardian. The implication of this verse is that God's refuge is not weak and frail. It is the refuge of the God of the East and the West. No one is God except Him, so that no one is His partner, and so that no one can cause hindrance in the implementation of his intentions. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes him his guardian, he will suffice, as is also mentioned in وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, or sufficient is God as your guardian. Surah number 4, verse 81. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. And bear with patience what they say, and with dignity ignore them. The Prophet is directed in this verse to be patient on the vain talk of his opponents, and to strongly adhere to his view. He should neither be sorrowful at what they say, nor get after them too much. He should just ignore them in a dignified manner, for they themselves will bear the consequences of this attitude. Leaving someone alone can be done in two ways. One is to leave him alone after humiliating and cursing him with the intention of animosity and revenge. This is what is generally adopted by people who are slaves to this world. The righteous and the pious never adopt this attitude. Their efforts to reform their fellow brethren is not because they have some personal interest in this. They do this for the guidance of the people and to please their Lord. If people harass or disregard them, then instead of being angry and showing hate, they feel sad on their state of affairs and sorrowful at the terrible fate these people will meet. In this situation, they might ignore and leave alone their people, but this leaving alone is much like the leaving alone of a father of his disobedient son. It is this leaving alone which is called Hajran Jamila in this verse. Such abandoning is very beneficial at times. Those who have even a small trace of goodness in them are moved by this decent behavior and are led into analyzing their own demeanor. At least they realize that the person will never accept their evil stance come what may. As long as the Prophet remains among his people, he faces the excesses of his people with such dignified patience. However, when the Almighty decides to punish these people, the Prophet announces his acquittal from them and dissociates from them. This dissociation is a prelude to their destruction. وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. And leave the matter of these rejectors who enjoy the comforts of life to me, and give them a little respite. In this verse, the Almighty has very sternly warned the rejectors by addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The implication is that the Almighty will really make an example out of them. The style of the expression Wazarni wal Mukazzibin is reflective of the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam should just isolate himself from these rejectors and let the Almighty alone take care of them. He does not need to do anything. Concealed in this verse is also the message that if there is a delay in the destruction of these disbelievers, it is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still among them. As per a divine practice, as long as a Prophet is among his people, they are not punished. If the Prophet leaves them, they will be immediately annihilated. It is the misfortune of these oppressive people that they want to harm him, for it is he who is actually shielding them from the wrath of God. If they deprive themselves of this shield, who will save them from torment and affliction? The expression Ulin Narma refers to rich and affluent people. The word Narma means riches and affluence. By citing this attribute of the disbelievers, the purpose is to bring to light the real reason of their denial and to censure them on their ingratitude. The implication is that if the Almighty had blessed them with wealth and affluence, they should have been grateful to Him. On the contrary, this God-given affluence made them arrogant and haughty, and they rose against their Lord. إِنَّا لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا وَتَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. We have in store for them fetters and the fire of hell and choking food and a very painful torment. The implication of this verse is that if the God-given affluence has led them to haughtiness and rejection of the Prophet, then they should remember that in the hereafter they will be chained in fetters and thrown into hell. The word ankal is a plural of nickel. It means fetters as well as bridles of iron. At other instances, for example in Surah Dahar, verse 4, the words used are salasil and aghlal. The expression وَتَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا refers to the fact that if these people do not realize the obligation they owe because of the copious food and resources they have been blessed with, they should remember that in the hereafter they will be given food that will get stuck in their gullets, and instead of a blissful life, they will have to encounter a painful doom.